Yes.
You guys are privy to a lot more of the paperwork than I am, but I can't imagine if what you were reading to me is that it allows one and two family dwellings, and then in another area of the zoning ordinance, it says condos and townhouses, which is what he is intending to turn it into. It does not say one and two, because I've never heard of a townhouse complex that has two or less. That's, I think that maybe the definition of townhouse and condominium is the biggest question of this whole interpretation, other than obviously it is right now non-conforming based on my understanding from John that only one and two bedroom or one and two family homes or residences could be there. But I did not maybe do my homework and read where it says condos and townhomes, or I probably would have done a lot more investigating as to what your ordinance is as far as the definition of a townhome or a condominium. And if it, you know, if multifamily versus duplex or single family even enters into the definitions. So I think that's a pretty crucial little point here. Because that's what he's going, that's the way he's going to handle it, with it being probably the shared utilities except for the water and sewer, that it would be, you know, the homeowner association would, they would pay the fees to that, but it would still be, again, one parcel, and again, I don't know exactly how the ownership rules and regulations are on townhomes and condominiums, but I think that's critical, because that's the intent, I understand, is that that use is allowed, and that use is allowed, I can only understand, to, you know, to affect the level of burden on the community and the demands of the services. And I think we're not changing that, so I think, you know, that's just another little piece of the puzzle. But I do think that the definition of condo and townhome is critical here.
So this is currently one lot, right?
It is currently one lot and three individual long-term rental units.
We're saying it could be, I mean, that's enough square footage, but it could be divided.
Yeah, John, based on John's full square footage, and again, I was looking, I guess, at the buildable square footage on that plat. Yes, it could be if it was torn down, but that's not his intent to tear it down, and obviously that would increase the demands of on the town.
So if you divided it into two lots, we could build two family dwellings.
Or potentially you could leave it as one lot, tear it down, and build a condominium complex of four on one lot, if the definition of a condominium or a townhome, you know, is such. You know, I've never heard of a condo or a townhome being, again, two or less. I mean, that just...
It's not that uncommon on single lots around here. You have bears and townhomes.
Right. Well, we do have a definition of townhouse. And it says, shall mean an individually owned single-family dwelling unit constructed in a series or group of attached units with one line wall or property line separating each unit. And that would not apply in this case.
Right, because it would be, it would not be a vertical plane separating them. But townhouse.
That word shall mean a system of individually fee ownership of complete dwelling units in a multi-unit structure whose ownership is not timeshare combined with joint ownership or common areas of the structure and land. That would apply.
And that is allowed, from what I understand, in that zoning ordinance.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
John, can I ask John a question?
Sure.
John, I'm looking for multiple dwellings. Does that fall under dwellings?
Does what fall under
multiple
dwellings?
Dwellings?
I don't understand the question.
Okay.
You look at the beginning.
What you're going by is what they would have in essence is a multiple dwelling, and that doesn't fit in.
That's correct.
Okay.
Other zoning districts in the town of Cary Beach provide for one, two, and multi-family dwellings. This one does not apply to that.
Okay.
And that's what I'm reading in that first sentence, saying it has to be
dwelling multi-family.
Means a building or portion thereof used or designed as a residence for three or more families having complete independent dwelling units. So this would be a multi-family dwelling unit.
Right.
Okay. And if this zoning does not allow for that, that's the question.
That's affirmative. And that's the way he's interpreting it. I had forgotten that they weren't the dwellings, and I was looking for it under multifamily. Thank you, John.
Sir.
So at this point in time, what we have to decide, Ruth, is, first of all, this would be a condominium if we allow it. Secondly, it would be a multi-family unit if we allow it. And this particular RB1 district does not allow multi-family, the way I read it. It only allows one and two family dwellings, whether they be townhouses or condominiums. Now, condominium can also, well, condominium, when I read that one, was what now? More than two, right? So this would be considered a condominium. So let's decide whether or not.
What rate the condominium might be?
It's the townhouse, sir.
Condominium shall mean a system of individual fee ownership of complete dwelling units in a multi-unit structure whose ownership is not timeshare, combined with joint ownership or common areas of the structure and land.
You said three, it's not it's two or more.
It's in a multi-unit structure.
Yes.
So it can be two or more.
Yes.
Peter, do we need any more discussion on this? Or do you
the two things are challenging me. Number one, that if he came to us, which he hasn't, but he came to us with a proposal to split the lot and build condominiums on the two lots, we would probably approve that.
Well, it's permitted.
Yes. So that's point number one. The second point is that I wanted to make is that. My main point is that I don't see the change of use between this current non-conforming situation and the one that he's proposing. I think there are three individual units now that are leased out. He owns each one of them and he leases them out. In the future, he's going to sell them off. That to me is the same use. So he's not really, any way we look at it, going outside of what we would have him do as a town of Cary Beach on that lot. So that's my issue.
Okay. My interpretation of what they want to do is change. It doesn't change the structure, but change the way the structure is being used. by now selling off ownerships, and now you have multi-families buying into the property. You have three families going to be occupying, three different owners, and it's not allowed in the RB1 district. It is now. It is now because three people don't own it. One person owns it.
So the question to me is, that's currently non-conforming. Anything that is non-conforming. So that's my question. I agree.
Charlie, do you have anything more you want to add, or do you want to go ahead and vote on this thing?
I'm ready.
Okay, we will close the debating part of this, and now we will basically take a vote as to finding the facts and render a decision. Charlie, we'll start with your finding facts and whether or not you would vote to uphold the decision of the building inspector or reverse the decision of the building inspector.
My finding of fact is that the building inspector is using multifamily criteria that has been used before in the past, and that particular item is not in this district, RB1 district. So I will have to support the building inspector's interpretation.
Okay. Peter?
My finding of fact is that clearly the structure is not allowed under the zoning ordinances. However, I do believe that the dwelling is in a non-conforming situation and will continue without any change in that non-conforming situation, and therefore I do not uphold the decision.
Okay, I in turn also find that this particular zoning does not allow for a multi-family unit based on the 1 and 2 family requirement for the RB1, and my vote would be to support the decision of the building inspector. Support?
Yes.
State that for the record.
I support the decision that it is not a 1 or 2 unit building or dwelling, and it does not conform to the statutes. I support John Baxter's decision.
From the information that I've heard today, I support the decision of the building inspector.
We have 4 supporting the decision of the building inspector and 1 not supporting the decision of the building inspector. Do I have a motion to, out of the 4/5, do I have a motion to support the decision of the building inspector, upholding the decision, denying the permit for separating the existing property into 3 condominium units? You make a motion?
I'll second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? 4-1, 4/5. We have found that this does not comply with our zoning ordinance, and therefore we are upholding the decision of the building inspector at this time. You have, because this is a quasi-judicial hearing, you We'll have 30 days from the time you receive the decision of the board that you can appeal. You must file a appeal with the clerk of Superior Court in the New Hanover County Courthouse within 30 days of the date of this decision, once it is filed by the clerk. Have a motion to close this hearing? Second? And this hearing is now closed. We're going to take a 10-minute break.
Did you see me?
I think you're right, but I think it was.
That's what you're here with. That is what you're here with. We're not always in agreement. That's why.
Administrative oath.
her. Then you open the hearing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
It's very simple.
I mean, I'm going to move here, so I have my staff.
I forgot the agenda.
Yes, actually, it is.
That's there for a reason.
He was in my space.
I worry that he is right. He, because I was just talking to people. Well, yeah, no, I just turned the page and read it.
She's going to teach you some teaching lesson.
What?
Because it's not working.
Would you like to be where I am?
Do you know, Lakeland, if we scoot over the table like a foot forward that way,
yeah,
that'll
sure.
I just have to be able to see because when he speaks, he's soft-spoken. And I have to make sure I see him. Okay, that's perfect.
Yeah, he's got a baby face, too. You want me to yell at
you? Go ahead and yell. If you yell, that works for me.
Okay.
Those microphones work pretty well.
I'm going to watch you, too.
Don't be me, my hands are busy.
Oh, we have watched his hands. And we got the attorneys to be here.
That's right, I'm trying to be straight.
Okay, how in the whole world do you read this?
That's what they tell people in school for. Right?
You actually got my accent on that, didn't you?
Speaking in, is it British or Australian?
A bit of the main British.
Okay.
I lived in Australia for 8 years.
That's
true. Yeah. I can't let me come in and be
more than
comfortable. That was the second. Okay. On you. I take more.
Yeah.
Are you having a hard time hearing them?
You need to speak up. Because you sit so far back from the microphone, it's hard to hear you when you start talking. You either got to move closer to the microphone or talk loud like me.
Many years ago,
people
told me I was
busy now.
Oh, no.
Not now.
Not tonight.
Not today.
I had to be there yesterday afternoon, and then we'll be on this today. I'm back.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Today you want to be
because we've got these big quarters.
Yeah, your inflection of a word is on a different syllable. And
I get through the drive, it's not too bad. Sometimes I'm trapped on a bad accident there, no profit of return. One lane on one side of the highway, the other side is totally blocked. Back to this side, too. Back from 74. There's just no way to get to Charlotte here.
It's good.
But I go into the I'm flying to Orlando. I mean, if I talk off.
Very hard.
It just takes me longer to fly.
Oh, my GPS.
You figure all your time. Start the table. It takes an hour longer.
The motorway.
The motorway.
That is the wrong way.
Is that the highway? Yes, the highway.
Plus what?
It's not the motorway.
Freeway.
Yes.
Freeway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. I'll fly tomorrow.
There's lots of different.
I think I picked up everything I can say and say when I go to listen to it.
Oh, you got what? Oh, yeah. To see how good it was?
Yeah.
That's a digital recorder?
So we'll see.
It's pretty busy at times.
Well, like I said, the last one I went to Jack. last year when I was in the school. We got out there at 12:03.
Oh, good.
First time.
That's right. That was going to be a third.
11.
You haven't got any, you've got the drawings there.
At the moment, I want to be running.
My brother works for, he's the vice president of AC Corporation.
Oh, okay.
They used to do a lot of textiles, so in textiles, he's making money now.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Yeah, very little.
No, I do my own thing that way.
This is almost, he's very good on wearers. Yeah, there were several projects he talked about that I worked on. Brady. He knew the Brady, so basically he was Brady. So we were talking about,
it's always nice for a
small world.
Yeah, exactly. Small world.
Oh, yeah.
And especially in this industry.
I guess he likes working over there.
Yeah, I do.
He said, tell us about something. He can't make it on what he's doing on the architect thing. Can't make it change because it's a little bit of making it. He said, since the building
is going out there,
he'll be
able to do it.
Well, he seems to be happy.
I mean, I like this because I don't have to go to an office. I'm waiting for you to bring up something good on the internet.
What do you want to say?
Don't you show her any of that stuff you look at here in the day? She's so sweet. She's hungry and I see her. Now he's blushing.
It's because she's spreading lies over here.
Right behind
she's spreading lies.
Don't
make it bad. If I get distracted, I'll miss what they're saying. All right, let's bring this meeting back to order. Case number 1101, this Great Giant Judicial Hearing, is an appeal of the decision by the building inspector filed by Donald and Audrey Lindsay. This appeal relates to a permit issued to build a third-story addition to the property at 313 Atlantic Avenue in Curie Beach, and involves the provisions of the Town of Curie Beach Zoning Ordinance, Article 1, Section 19.1, Definitions, Article 3, District Regulations, Division 7, RA3 Residential District, Section 19.188, Dimensional Requirements, Article 4, Supplemental District Regulations, Section 19.321-0.5, Article 5, Section 19-357, a non-conforming situation. The owners at this location are building a third-story addition to the residence. Mr. and Mrs. Lindsay are adjacent homeowners at 311 Atlantic Avenue and are seeking a reversal to the decision of the building inspector, allowing the single-family residential structure to exceed dimensional requirements, does not meet prerequisite requirements for impervious services, and does not comply with continuance of non-conforming situation. This is a quasi-judicial administration board. Members may only consider substantial, competent, and material evidence for factual determination. Hearsay and opinion testimony may not be considered in our findings of fact. A concurring vote of 4/5 of members is required to reverse any order, and the finding of the board is limited to either an order upholding the decision of the building inspector, allowing the third-story addition to the existing residence, or an order reversing the decision of the building inspector, requiring the permit to be revoked. At this time, I'm going to poll each member of the board to see if there's any conflict of interest that exists in direct financial benefit, bias, or fixed opinion. Undisclosed outside contracts, a close family tie, or close business tie. Should a conflict exist, the board member must recuse him or herself from the hearing. Charlie, do you have any conflict?
I had contact with the building inspector. I was reading through this and I thought this was a petition by the person that was looking to build and was being denied. And got zeroed in on the wrong thing and said something about the building permit was denied. And I'm looking through what John is saying, and I don't see anything in there saying that it was denied. So I called John up and I said, where's your denial slip? He said, I didn't deny it. He says, the petition is to deny the building that's going on. So that's the extent of it. Now, if that falls into a category that disqualifies me, that's it.
Did your discussion with John make you formulate any opinion
on
this case?
No.
Okay. Then I don't think there's a conflict there. Anybody else? Peter?
No conflict.
I have no conflict.
Lord, no conflict.
No conflict. All right. Let's get who is going to testify in this. Sir, please stand. John, you need to be resworn. Mr. Lindsay, would you state your name for our clerk, please?
My name is Donald Lindsay.
Okay. Do I need to do this?
If you're going to testify,
yes.
Then you all need to get up.
Okay.
Okay. You are?
Audrey.
Audrey Lindsay. Sir?
Mary.
Excuse me.
Okay. Greg Lindsay.
Mary Lindsay Cutrell.
Okay. The testimony that the five of you are going to give to this board will it be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Raise your right hand, please.
Yes.
Do you swear?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Lindsay, you may go first.
My name is Donald Lindsay. And I'm going to make a presentation basically using the chart over here. And I have a handout. May I give each of you a copy?
Certainly.
I can use it to make notes, but basically it will appear here on the...
Thanks. Need to make sure our recorder gets one as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pardon?
Okay. Thank you.
Testament members, my name is Donald Van Zib, as stated. My wife Audra and I are property owners at 313 Atlantic Avenue, which is adjacent to the 313 Atlantic Avenue property.
You are at 311.
I'm sorry, did I say?
You said 313.
We used to be 313 and a half, so we are 311, I'm sorry. And if I say that again, please call my attention to it. We appreciate this opportunity to present our objections and opposing evidence related to the building permit. As it's already been stated, it was issued December 21st, last year by the town of Tree Beach building inspector for constructing a third story and major remodeling projects at 313 Atlantic Avenue. For my introduction, I'd like to begin with this statement. We're not trying to deny our neighbors at 313 Atlantic Avenue their legal property rights. We only want to protect our legal property rights as adjacent property owners. We acknowledge that the building inspector needs some flexibility in interpreting the zoning code. However, we have a legal right to challenge his interpretations when we truly believe they're not accurate and when he fails to apply all the applicable Tree Beach zoning code requirements. And of course, that's why we're here tonight. We researched the Tree Beach zoning code and found three zoning code sections that are directly applicable to this situation, which we've identified as our appeal issues 1, 2, and 3. I'd like to begin with our issue number one. And that's basically restating or stating the requirements of the RA3 residential district where the 313 Atlantic Avenue property is located. It's Article 3 District Regulations, Division 7, RA3 Residential District. And these are the district requirements. Number one, must have a minimum lot area of 5,000 square feet. Minimum lot width shall be 50 feet. The minimum required front yard shall be 20 feet. The minimum required side yards, 5 feet. The minimum required rear yard shall be 10 feet, off-street parking, and so forth. We will provide factual evidence that the house at 313 Atlantic Avenue was built in violation of this above this code section and has continued in violation over the past 24 years, and that the building inspector failed to appropriately apply this code section before issuing the building permit. Here's our evidence of facts. The house at 313 Atlantic Avenue was built in 1986. Now, I have the charts that's in the back of your book there, but for to continue, if this is okay, I would like to make sure these charts get included in the record. If you would like for me to put that chart up on the display, I'll be glad to do it, but you have it there in front of you. It'll just save us a little time. But basically state what's on that chart. The chart was derived from the New Hanover County website for this particular situation and shows the sales history of this property prior to the existing house construction date, shows multiple sales, one in May of 1985 and the other one in November of 1985 to unrelated ownerships. And after the above zoning code requirements were issued. Now, the zoning code requirements were issued sometime before 1985, and this was verified in an email to me from Ms. Nancy Avery, who's the Tree Beach Town Clerk, and that's labeled Attachment B. That states that the current code wording existed before 1985, before the house was built, as shown on the other attachment in 1986. Fact number three, the calculated lot area at 313 Atlantic Avenue is 3,374 feet. Obviously, this doesn't meet the 5,000 square feet minimum area. Type number four, the first floor shed roof at the left of the rear corner of the house is within 3 feet of the rear property line, and the left rear corner of the house is 8.72 feet from the rear property line. And of course, these two dimensions don't meet the minimum rear yard requirement of 10 feet. Fact number four, the covered porch at the left front of the house is 19.71 feet from the front property line. This doesn't meet the 20-foot minimum. Both side yards don't meet the 5-foot minimum requirement. One is 4.58 feet, and the other one is 4.75 feet. These facts, 3 through 6, were taken directly from the 313 Atlantic Avenue survey plot that the owners provided with their application with the building permit. That is attachment A, and I would just like to refer to that for a moment. And I'll go over and point out the points that I just made.
Well, let's see.
So you can see it. This is the lot. It has an offset and then comes back to the street. This is their house. And the dark shaded area is concrete around the perimeter of the house. Basically, as you can see, the dimensions that I mentioned, side yard doesn't meet the requirement. It's less than 5 feet. This side yard doesn't meet the requirement. This corner of the house doesn't meet the requirement. And this in the back, this is less than 3 feet. The corner of the house is shown as 8.71 feet is what I have there. And this area back here, actually that point does meet 10 feet. But basically what you see is a house that's maxed out on this lot. There's no more building space. It's already into the required yard size that is not permitted to be used.
Where is, on this plot, Mr. Lindsay, where is your house?
Our house is directly behind it.
How do you get to it?
Right here.
How do you get to it?
How do we get to it? We own this adjacent lot, and we have in our deed two parking spaces and conveyance to the property from there.
What is it? Okay. I can see that. What is the square footage of the lot that you're on?
I'm not sure. It's smaller than this lot.
It's 50 by 30.
as a property that was in code compliance when it was built, but was later made non-conforming by new zoning code or change in the current zoning code. An illegal non-conforming property is a property that was in violation of zoning code requirements when it was built. Fact number 8 is from the North Carolina Real Estate Manual, published by the North Carolina Real Estate Commission, states that a person who buys a property that is being used in violation of a zoning ordinance will have no right to continue such illegal use, no matter how long such illegal use has existed. Our conclusions for this issue, based on the above facts and evidence, the code violations when the house was completed, the Fury Beach Code Enforcement Officer should never have allowed occupancy. This property has continued in violation at all the yards, front, side, and rear, as shown on the property's property owner survey. And that's been since the house was built. This egregious violation of multiple zoning codes at 313 Atlantic Avenue is considered an illegal non-conforming property, and Curie Beach Code Enforcement corrective action should be initiated. Surely, the 313 Atlantic Avenue property should not be further rewarded with a building permit for a third-story addition to a property that violated code when it was built and has continued for the last 24 years. Accepting the building code inspector's position, which obviously ignored the illegal code violations at 313 Atlantic Avenue, would allow any and all existing property with the most egregious code violations with the ability to add significant living space, major upgrades, and thereby exist into perpetuity. This practice would leave conforming property owners and entire neighborhoods with no hope that the egregious non-conforming house next door would eventually be replaced with one that did meet the code. The above identified code violations at 313 Atlantic Avenue are illegal and should be resolved before any new building permit applications are considered. Therefore, we conclude this building permit should be denied and should be rescinded. Our second appeal issue is related to the supplemental district regulations, which we printed below the grid. The supplemental district regulations and zoning code, and specifically section 19-321.5, states prerequisite to construction, demolition, remodeling, and impervious surfaces. I'm going to skip this because it basically says you can't do this until you get a permit. Well, they've already got a permit. But it says no permit shall be issued if the total square footage of the building and impervious ground covering surface will exceed 65% of the lot, excepting structures that's in the B1 district. It also states any type of impervious surface across the town right away shall be limited to 24 feet total width. We'll provide factual evidence to show that the supplemental district regulations are applicable requirements at 313 Atlantic Avenue, and that the building inspector failed to appropriately apply these requirements before issuing the building permit. Our evidence of facts, number 1, based on the dictionary definition of the word supplemental, the above regulations specify requirements that are in addition to those that specified in the RA3 residential district where 313 Atlantic Avenue is located. Fact number 2, nowhere in the code is it stated or implied that the supplemental district regulations are subordinate to the residential district regulations. The supplemental district regulations clearly states that these are prerequisite requirements prior to any construction, demolition, remodeling, and impervious surfaces, and prior to issuing any permit. Fact number four, the above impervious surfaces zoning code was adopted in 2001 and was clearly in effect before the present owners purchased the property in 2007, and that's shown on our attachment C, which was taken from the public records in the matter of account. Fact number five, based on the owner's own survey plot, we reference back to attachment A, most of the lot, as I have stated, is covered in building footprint, rear cover shed roof outside decks, and concrete surfaces all around the sides of the building, front and rear. Fact number six, the ratio, or we've calculated 85% of the building footprint and impervious surface area to the total lot, is much greater than the 65% allowed. 85% versus 65%. Fact number seven, the impervious surface, we calculated 45 feet from the zoning map and the dimensions there. 45 feet across the town right-of-way at the front is much wider than the 24 feet allowed. Fact number eight, impervious surfaces continue to be critical and sensitive issues facing Curie Beach as new construction increased surface water runoff problems and flooding in the area. As a matter of fact, the zoning code change implemented earlier in 2010 further limits side yard impervious surface requirements to just 15%. That shows that Curie Beach is responding positively and responsibly to this increasing problem. Our conclusions. Number one, the building inspector has invoked some sections of the zoning code article 5 in the supplemental district regulations. For example, he's invoked section 19-332, which specifies, just as an example, the building code height limits. We certainly agree that that would be applicable for the third story addition. So the question is, why would the building inspector discard as unimportant the equally applicable supplemental district regulations for impervious surfaces in section 19-321.5? The requirement clearly identified as prerequisite to construction, demolition, or remodeling. We assert that the building inspector should apply all, and again I'll underscore all, the applicable zoning code sections of Article 4 to develop a complete and accurate code application process for the 313 Atlantic Avenue situation. He should not be allowed to pick and choose a limited subset of the applicable code sections. Therefore, the building inspector's interpretation and position is flawed, is too narrow in scope, and it should be rejected. Number two, the above facts and evidence provide a compelling argument that the supplemental district regulations for impervious surfaces are appropriate and specify requirements that are not met at 313 Atlantic Avenue. Therefore, the prerequisite requirements for impervious surfaces were not appropriately applied by the building inspector prior to issuing the building permit. Our conclusions demonstrate a consistent and responsible application of the new Curie Beach Code for impervious surface requirements, especially the additional awareness for impervious surfaces issued and the more stringent code requirements recently adopted by the town. The building inspector has obviously discarded the impervious surface requirements as unimportant. Therefore, all permits for the third story construction project at 313 Atlantic Avenue should be denied and rescinded. May I take a moment to pay this along? Appeal issue number three. The 313 Atlantic Avenue property has been classified by the building inspector as a non-conforming property, which requires the application of the code section of Article 5, non-conforming use. In continuation of non-conforming situations, and in particular, paragraph 4, which relates to